This is VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good to have you on board. We are live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up in this hour, Warren Sharp on the program in 15 minutes. More looks from him at the betting board with player props coming up at that time. The pro football doctor, Dr. David Chow, on the program coming up in 45 minutes. And we will get into the updated numbers on the betting board here. And I'll pay off the tease, Paulie. When I said the Packers did this for the third time this season, you won't believe what happened in the game last night. First team Super Bowl era to lose three games in a season when they did not punt. Last year, the Bengals did it twice. 2021, the Chargers did it twice. First time in the Super Bowl era. That's incredible.
It is. And now they're going to be the seventh seed. And who knows, maybe they play the Bears for a third time. Bears were 5-1 in the summer to win the division. First time since 2018, they get it done. And Willis looked great. He was 30-1 to have two touchdowns. Couldn't stop Henry. And then who knows who they're going to play next week. But this this escalated quickly. Mm-hmm. Where you're thinking Super Bowl team, going to be tough to beat, and now likely the seventh seed.
I said this to you on Follow the Money on Friday, that I think there's a pretty good chance we have between zero and three good to really good teams in the NFL. We don't have a lot this year. The Packers would actually make it like around four if they were fully healthy.
Yeah.
But they're not. And so they're not one of those teams that we can have in that conversation. And they could have, I think, you know, won the Super Bowl if they did not have a boatload of guys out for the entire year. I mean, it's just Micah Parsons, Tucker Kraft, Jordan Love out now, guys on the offensive line, other players on the defense. It's nonstop with this team, and that's just going to be too difficult to overcome. Now, the 49ers have done that. Somehow, some way, they can still get the one seed. And we just talked about how the winner of this game tonight has to be the favorite to win the coach of the year. And we pointed out the Patriots and their easy schedule. Scotty is asking the question on X, why does New England's easy schedule for coach of the year matter more than San Francisco's very easy schedule? The answer to that is very easy. It's how many injuries the Niners have had.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, right. You can't even compare the two.
Kittle, Bosa, Warner, Purdy. So many got Pearsall, the Ayuk situation. Mm-hmm. Incredible coaching job,
you know that
Shanahan.
Brock, all things, when you factor everything in together, all the metrics, Brock Purdy, he doesn't qualify. That's the problem. Hasn't played enough games. He is the number one rated quarterback in the entire league this year. Not Matthew Stafford, not Drake May. It's Brock Purdy. But that tells you the job that he has done. He hasn't played enough to qualify. Mm-hmm. So, and Kittle, by the way, might not go tonight.
What he did with Mac Jones holding it down.
Yes.
Seattle, 43% chance to get the one seed. They're down to 6.5 at some spots now against Carolina. Bears, the 2 seed. Philly, the 3. Carolina, currently the 4. A 1-game lead with 2 left. But still, Tampa's $1.60 to win the division. Niners are the 5. The Rams are the 6 seed. I think they're the best team in football. Mm-hmm. They're the 6 seed. They've blown every game. And I can drop the likely. Green Bay will be the 7 seed after the loss last night. And then the huge Baltimore win. That means Pittsburgh has to beat Cleveland tonight. Today, they're up to 4.5. If they blow it, and it's a Tomlin special. Again, no one loses more games to bad teams than Tomlin. Then it comes down to next week at home against Baltimore. Tickets at cash last night. Henry 110-1 to have 4 touchdowns. 20 yards rushing each quarter, 17-1. 50 yards each half plus 650. Henry and Huntley, 250 yards rushing combined, 80-1. And Dobbs, Flowers, and Henry to combine for 5 touchdowns, 60-1. Henry did most of the legwork there. Incredible. Yeah. The backup quarterbacks, all the tickets that cashed.
Here's what's at stake out here in Las Vegas today for the number one overall seed. With a loss, the Giants would have a 73% chance to get the number one overall pick. That's with a loss. I'm trying to click on the link right now, and I don't see. The Raiders' chance would be, I think, around like 69% if they lose the game to get the number one overall pick. Now, again, people are calling it the Mendoza Bowl. I think that's laughable. First of all, the Giants took Jackson Dart last year. I think for them to take another quarterback this year would be that's not happening, right?
No.
And also, why is Mendoza the guy? It's like he's like a $1.65 to be. Those odds, I think, are ridiculous for him to go number one overall. But
The other game too, with the playoff implications and how it changed, the Chargers could have been playing for the division and the 2 seed next week. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to be the 7. The most accurate kicker in history misses an extra point and a short field goal. Gadsden with the big drop that resulted in interception. And then the horrible call. Come on. You got Walt Anderson now doing the rounds about how it was the correct call. You're right. You can't make that call in that situation. Number two, the wide receiver initiated the contact. In any event, the Chargers, typical Charger fashion, are now going to be the 7, and they're 11-5, and the Texans have won 8 in a row, can still win the division. Incredible. And they would win it over Jacksonville if they stubbed their toe because of a better division record. 8 wins in a row for the Texans. They were 3-5 and like 12-1 to win the division and a long shot to make the playoffs. They are in.
The leader in the clubhouse, in your opinion right now, to be the Sunday night game next week would be who?
Oh, God, it's a tough call. If the Niners win, I think it's got to be San Francisco, Seattle.
Well, that's if they win it, it will be.
Then well, I don't know. Baltimore, Pittsburgh's sexy for the division.
But that's for the one seed, though.
I think the win or go home is a better situation for NBC. But then you also have the Saturday doubleheader you can play with, too. And put an appealing game on there.
Some of these numbers that are moving right now on the board. The Bills are touching. They just touched 3 at least one book that I'm seeing. There's another 3 popping right now and another. And I see other books are still holding strong at 2.5. The other game that I just saw go to 3. Man, this thing is lighting up like crazy as we speak. The Giants are touching 3, Paulie. They're 3 even money at DraftKings right now. And they are 3 even money at least 2 other books that I'm looking at right now on the screen. Make that 4. South Point here in Las Vegas, the way it looks, has Giants -3 as well. In a game that nobody can figure out what the hell's going on in, Giants taking money to go up to that key number of 3. All right. The Bills touch 3? Again, mostly 2.5s here, but...
Well, how have the moves looked in the college football bowl games? Been terrible.
Yeah, not great.
But this is, let's see if follow the money pays off here with these big moves. I like the Giants play and the movement in the Arizona total as well. 50.5 up to 53.5. I can't believe it. Almost 70 degrees in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Nuts.
And the Steelers, you bet Steelers.
Yeah.
What was it, money line or -3?
Yeah.
Okay, they're up to 4.5 now. And they have been at 4.5, but now there's actually a couple of books moving on the Browns here down to -4 here in the game. And the total's at 35.5. Now, I'll give you this.
It's supposed to rain all game. Snow would stop, and then the rain. And then we were expecting bad weather, but it's just going to be okay just with the rain. And then we'll see if the Steeler offense can keep it going now that you're down DK and what you can get on with the rushing attack.
Quietly, I don't know how quiet it is, I guess, anymore. But the Steelers have been really bad against quarterbacks this year. They've allowed the 3rd most passing yards to quarterbacks and are bottom 7 in touchdowns. If the weather here is not awful, is Shedeur Sanders going to be able to make this work? Because he got some good news the way it looks. Harold Fannin is going to be fine today playing tight end for him.
Well, they got to be able to protect him. The offensive line's been so bad. And you don't have anything to do with, you don't have any rushing attack either. So... maybe make some plays with his legs and takes some shots deep and gets Judy involved. But I think the Steelers win and they wrap up the division, even though they've had problems here. 38-0 straight up and 37-1 ATS, by the way, when they win. Tip of the cap to Evan Abrams. That's incredible that the number never comes into play there. Fewer than 7 points in the first quarter, 67 games in a row as well on the Steelers. And 12-3 ATS in the first half. 8-0 at home.
Yeah, this has been a really good series for the home team.
Yeah.
13-2-1 straight up. Last 16, 13-3 ATS.
The Super Bowl for the Browns.
Yeah.
They can make it interesting. And you don't want to see Henry and Cold coming to town Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. That'd be great.
Are you actually rooting for a Browns win?
I'd like to see that, yeah. I think Baltimore is so dangerous if they get in the playoffs. Just that they beat themselves in the coaching malpractice all season.
Okay, so I'll point this out again. I brought this up earlier in the show. I did a Malik Willis search on X last night when he went out of the game. I wanted to know, like live betting purposes, is he going to come back into the game? Is he out? Is it going to be Clayton Tune? Who is it going to be? My Twitter feed, when I searched Malik Willis's name, was littered with, he's better than Jordan Love. So would you say that the Ravens based on Jackson's injuries and how he was playing anyway, would be better off next week in a do-or-die game with Huntley at quarterback?
No, no way. No, guy had 100 yards. No.
He was very accurate to begin the game.
Yeah. That was a good game plan, but also you got to have the MVP in there.
Yeah, he's just been, he's so disappointing this year.
Bad turnovers.
It's everything. Yep. It's ankle, it's knee, it's elbow, it's, you know, the shin, the hammy, whatever. It's everything for the dude this season.
Yeah. They have blown at least four games this year. And the coaching malpractice to keep Henry on the bench, especially what happened last week. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. They don't just follow the market. They help shape it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own. Advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources and active across all sports. They deliver the edge serious bettors rely on with free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Jeff and the crew have been at it since 2011, and the AI plays are up over 50 units. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Look for the tweets for the first touchdown of the game in the primetime game. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com.
Yeah, Tampa down to 4.5 at a bunch of books now, and the same thing for Jacksonville. Settling in at 4.5, the way it looks at, not all of them. DK and FanDuel still hanging out at 5.5, but a bunch of other books are showing 4.5, including here at Circa on those two games. It's VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show. We're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Up next, Warren Sharp is going to rejoin the program. We'll get his final look at player props for this weekend's action coming up next.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Another look at player props for Week 17 as Warren Sharp rejoins the program. Great deal right now for VSiN listeners and viewers this week. Right now, you can get all of his Week 17 props for only $19.99. Go to the website, which is sharp.football, and click on the top link to claim this offer today. Again, go to sharp.football. Get that deal, $19.99, every prop for this week. And Warren is on the Progressive guest line. How about this, Warren? This is escalating quickly here. The Bills at Circa are up to three minus $1.15, and they've gone to three at almost every book that I have on the screen right now. What's your takeaway from that number and tying it into maybe a couple of looks that you have in this game?
Certainly a strong move. I don't think it can be understated how strong a move it is, how much money it takes to move a game onto a key number like a three on Sunday morning. There's some significant action coming in on the Buffalo Bills as we speak. And I don't know that it's going to be because the Buffalo Bills need Josh Allen to throw the ball for 300 yards in this game. With some rain in the forecast, which we're not sure exactly how much rain we're going to get, there is a flood warning in effect in that area, that region, through Monday morning. But we're not sure exactly, is it going to just downpour all game or are we just going to get some light rain during the game? I like Josh Allen's passing yards under. It's like between 195, 198, 201, somewhere in that range is where you're going to be able to find this one. And here's the thing. If you go looking at the Philadelphia Eagles pass defense, you've got two main areas where you're the Buffalo Bills and you love to throw the football. Number one is your slot wide receiver, Khalil Shakir. And Shakir's passing yardage is set at 40.5. I haven't bet this yet, but I might be looking to bet that under as well. The Philadelphia Eagles are one of the best pass defenses in the NFL against slot receivers. They are limiting slot receiver targets to just 5.7 yards per target, which is second best in the NFL. Josh Allen also likes to throw the ball to his tight ends. Well, we know both tight ends are actually banged up right now, and one of them might miss the game because they activated a tight end from their practice squad to their active roster for this game. And the Philadelphia Eagles allow a league low 4.8 yards per attempt to tight ends. So multiple things could be at play here. Number one, the Buffalo Bills could be playing with a lead, don't need to throw the football as much. Josh Allen's gone under this in three out of his last four games anyways. Number two, you've got a bad matchup against a defense that's really good against slot receivers and tight ends, which is where the Buffalo Bills like to throw the football often. So you don't have have as efficient of a passing game. And number three, you just have rain in the forecast, which could lower the floor, lower the ceiling of everything passing oriented as it relates to both of these offenses. So I think there's a variety of outs to get on this one. It's always dangerous going Josh Allen on a passing yardage prop under. But I do think that there's a good situation. Plus the fact that Josh Allen's playing with that foot injury. Mm-hmm. And you never know on a slick surface, could he take a misstep and then end up, you know, not being quite at 100% the rest of the game. And the guy's a warrior. I don't expect that he's going to leave the game, but it's always a possibility when you're already entering the game with an injury.
How about the other late game? The Giants are up to 3. Anything there?
Yeah, look, this game is just so difficult to predict. Both of these teams seemingly trying to play the game before the game, which is which players can we put onto IR and out IR the other team before the game so that we can make sure that we lose this game. And it remains to be seen exactly what the coaching strategy is going to be, because the true way to tank is to play your worst players and ensure the coaches will play your worst players. You put your best players on IR, deactivate them, don't let them play in this game. And if it's in the coach's hands, like Pete Carroll, he's probably going to coach to try to win this game. I don't know what Mike Kafka's marching orders are, but we saw just a week ago, they didn't even want to run the ball. I mean, they didn't even want to throw the ball. All they did was run the ball. I'm looking at the box score like halftime because I didn't have any bets on that game, but I'm keeping up with the action on the play-by-play. And I'm like, wait a second. There's not a single passing attempt here. What is going on in this game? All they were doing was running the football. I like Ashton Jeanty to have success on the ground here, which is a scary proposition considering he's probably the running back that I've bet towards the under most of any running back this season, especially earlier on in the season, whether it was his longest run or his total rushing yards. That offensive line is still a disaster. It's not good. But you're going up against a New York Giants team that is unlikely to jump out to a massive lead on you, and you're going to have the ability to run the football all four quarters probably in a game that the Raiders deactivated, you know, your key number one tight end. So I think that there's some upside for Ashton Jeanty on the ground, even though the number is egregiously high compared to what it's been in the past. I just think he's got some upside here. And then, you know, I don't know how many times are they going to get Jackson Dart to throw the football. So not my strongest prop at all this week, but okay. I did bet a little bit on Jackson Dart's pass attempts under just because I'm wondering if they're really going to come out here and try to fire the ball all around the field. They're down multiple offensive linemen. Yes, there's no Max Crosby, but do you really want Jackson Dart to get hurt? And you're going up against a Raiders defense that is susceptible. So maybe some of the passing attempts that he does have actually are caught and have solid gains, which means you don't have to throw the ball nearly as often.
What do you have in the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game now that the Steelers need it up to 4.5 with the Baltimore win and down DK Metcalf?
Well, I'll just say it's always dangerous to bet on a team that needs it, especially mm-hmm. after what happened last night. I mean, this artificial line move, because the Steelers technically need this game, is definitely something that I'm interested in potentially coming back and fading closer to kickoff at the best number that I can get. Not saying that is definitely the right side, the Cleveland Browns, because they're a banged up team, but it's just not worth it. Like that extra value is something that could be too hard for me to pass up eventually. One thing that I like in this game is Aaron Rodgers' longest completion under 31.5. I believe he's had, since week 9, he's gone over this in just 2 games. He's had only 4 total completions that were longer than 31 yards. 2 of them went to DK Metcalf himself. So I think that I just don't know how often you're going to have Aaron Rodgers dropping back to pass the ball here. I don't know how many times he's going to be throwing the ball deeper down the field, especially with Myles Garrett on the prowl. That's got to be in the forefront of Aaron Rodgers' mind is, you know, the sack numbers and what he's going to do and the pressure that he's going to take on here. You're not going to want to hold the ball as long to throw the ball deeper down the field against this Cleveland Browns secondary. Now, on the other side of the ball, a prop that I kind of like here, especially with all the tight ends banged up for the Cleveland Browns, is Dylan Sampson's receiving yardage. Now, this is not my strongest bet of the week, but it is one that I decided to ladder pretty high. So you could start at around 17.5 yards is what it was when I bet it just about 30, 45 minutes ago and shared it with my subscribers. We bet at 17.5. And then I took some ladders. I took, what do we have here? 25 plus yards was 168, plus 168. 40 plus was plus 500. 50 plus is plus 900. You can even go 60 plus, which, by the way, he's had like three or four times this year. That was like 15 to one. So I'm not, it's not something that's likely to happen here, but if they're not going to be able to have success running the football, we know that their number one running back got injured last week, obviously a gruesome injury. He's not going to be playing. Their tight ends are out as well. So who's he really throwing the ball to that they trust? How about the running back who's had 60 plus receiving yards in multiple games? And let's ladder the heck out of him and just see what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah. No question. Quickly here in about 90 seconds, money today on the Colts as well. Jags down to 4.5 for the game, but also first half now, right? People buying in on the Colts in the first half. That's basically gone. The threes are gone, wiped out. Looks like 2.5 now is the most common number out there, Warren.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting move. There's obviously been some money on the Indianapolis Colts, and part of the like the prevailing thought process is, hey, the Colts don't need this game. They just got eliminated from the postseason. What do they have to play for? Phillip Rivers is playing. Like, might they pull him? Well, that's where the first half angle could come into play here, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to probably get at least the first half of Phillip Rivers. So that might be the better way to attack it if you're looking to take the points with the Indianapolis Colts at home. But the other thought process here to this game is, like, Phillip Rivers comes back. He's been prepping all week for this game. Like, he put his prep during Christmas for this game away from his family to try to win this game. You think he's just going to like give up and say, oh, well, that was fun. Now that we're eliminated, I'm just not going to try in this last game. I think the Indianapolis Colts could play even more carefree now that they're eliminated. Try to play the spoiler role. Try to just win a game. I don't know what's going to happen week 18 as far as Phillip Rivers goes, but this game that he's definitely prepped for against this defense, it's a pass funnel defense. You want to throw the football against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they're going to need to look to have some success. And then on the flip side, I definitely think Trevor Lawrence and this Jacksonville Jaguars passing attack should find some success against the Colts, who gave up a ton of production to Brock Purdy. One prop that I took here was Brenton Strange, longest reception over, I want to say 15.5. It's also 16.5 at some spots, at least when I was looking at it. I think there's upside here for Brenton Strange to have at least one longer reception. We saw how George Kittle terrorized this defense last week. I think that Brenton Strange at least once can have a nice chunk gain against this Colts secondary.
Awesome stuff as always, man. Love talking to you. Thanks so much for the time and best of luck today, Warren.
All right. Good luck, guys.
You and too, again, thanks. Warren has a great deal right now for VSiN listeners and viewers this week. Right now, get all of his Week 17 props, only $19.99. Go to sharp.football, click on the top link to claim this offer today. Sharp.football is the site, $19.99. And stay tuned again coming up at 12:30 Eastern time. One more hit from Warren on with JVT and Stormy. And we'll continue talking about these games coming up. And I'll expand on this. Don't look now, but the numbers tell you he's one of the best at his position on the entire season.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sunday night game is awesome. Bears on the road against the 49ers. The total was as high as 53 this week, down to 51.5 right now at Circa. Niners favored by 3.5 points. Their offense has been on fire, led by their quarterback Brock Purdy, guy I was talking about. If you factor in all these metrics, QBR, EPA per play, completion percentage over expectations, some other things that go into it as well, he's the number one rated quarterback in the entire league. The problem is he doesn't qualify, hasn't played enough, but he is humming. And we saw that offensive game plan last week, the scheme, I guess you have to factor that in, right? That was at least partial Kyle Shanahan scheme and also really bad Indianapolis Colts defense, because Purdy, every time he dropped back to pass, he had a guy wide open by 10 yards.
It was easy. Well done. But here, this is a tough game, 3.5 and 51.5 the total. Bears wrapped up a division, and the Bears are going, a ton of guys are sick. So you have to deal with the illness going through the locker room. They don't have a Dunze again, but you think Williams can make enough plays in the passing attack against this bad San Francisco defense that doesn't have a pass rush. But do they keep this going offensively? And I hope he plays clean football, but that's easier said than done against this opportunistic Bears defense that's been doing it all year. 31 takeaways, plus 21 in the turnover differential, 21 interceptions. This is crazy what's happened all year with Chicago. I don't want to see a repeat of the Monday night game against Carolina. when he had issues throwing it longer than 15 yards. The dump offs to McCaffrey have been so good all year. The rushing attack, he's going to get 1,000, get Pierce all deep. But Jennings, and what a job here. You know, we were making the case earlier for Shanahan coach of the year if he can win this game and beat Seattle. To beat the Rams on the road with Mac Jones when he played so well and Bourne had a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And also he deserves a ton of credit how he handled the Ayuk situation. That was a guy you gave a ton of money to and was supposed to be a big part of your team. It was never there.
Yep. Well, okay, so that's actually something we haven't talked about this week. And it's a prop that I bet it a couple times. You bet it pretty much the entire year. And that's the McCaffrey receiving yards over.
Yeah.
So he needs 151 yards to reach 1,000 on the year. He would become the second running back, actually the first player to do it twice, have 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving in the same year. He'd do it for the second time. The first time he did it was 2 years ago. He was offensive player of the year for the 49ers back in 2023. Obviously, Paul, have to have this game, have to have next week's game. I say that because the number one seed is on the line. 151 yards to get that. Is that something that's, I mean,
a big number.
He'd be going over both games big time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get there unless he goes. Obviously, he's going to have to pop in both these games, and that would result in him going over both of his props for each week.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that where the targets and the receptions have been there, though, before, and he was on an 8-1 overrun at one point in the season. But it also goes back to how much success they're having throwing the ball down the field, too, and determine a game plan. But that's also something where I think Shanahan can dial that up. I don't know what to expect from the Bears, though, just because you got so many guys sick. I mean, this is the week. McMillan now is sick with Carolina, and he's questionable.
Yeah, how about this? A tweet from, making the rounds a couple of minutes ago. Ted McMillan, their rookie, added to the injury report just today due to an illness, but he's being listed as questionable, and he is active.
If he no-shows or doesn't do anything with the flu, Henderson is back. What if Shuck has a big game? This thing's still wide open for offensive rookie of the year. And how Henderson's supposed to go off against this terrible Jet defense. New England averaging 148 yards rushing the last 3 weeks. Jets give up the third most fantasy points to running backs. Come on, give me 100 yards and two scores.
Yeah, well, great timing today as Dr. David Chow is going to join the program coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on what Henderson could be in store for today, how limited he might be. And now remember that this is a unique situation because McMillan this news just came out and he was put on the injury report today, but he is going to be active with the flu. And we asked him about this early in the season when a player would be, you know, all of a sudden questionable because of an illness, like let's say on Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, he's like almost 100% of the time that player is going to be good enough to go because they have obviously like the best, we'll call it liquids in the business to get the players ready to go. But if he just came with it down today, you know, what's that process like? That game's kicking off in an hour, not even 90 minutes from right now.
Yeah. Seattle 6.5 at DraftKings. Steelers back up to 4.5. Jacksonville down to 4.5 against the Colts. And then the two late games, Giants up to 3, Bills up to 3. I agree with the move on the Giants, and the Bills game's tough because of how, you know, Sirianni's saying all the right things. But also, I still worry about Buffalo if New England, you know, wins, blows out the Jets, and the Bills have the late game, knowing that they're not going to win the division. Not official, but I just don't see the Patriots losing at home to Quinn Ewers.
So this Bills-Eagles game was a pick'em
in
the Circa Millions contest. It was pick'em actually in real life as well, like on the board for a little bit of this week. And then, you know, Bills back to 1, 1.5. Today during the show, they shot right up to 3, minus 15 cents. Now, Circa has a history of this year anyway, rather than moving to the hook, they'll go to 3, minus 20, minus 25. I think I've actually seen them go to 3, minus 130 this year, rather than going to 3.5. There is a book in town here that refuses to go with juice, and that's South Point. So if they were to get enough money on the Bills today, maybe at some point you would see a 3.5 in Buffalo. I mean, but as Warren said, on game day, to make it to you go all the way to the key number, and now with juice, that's taking a lot of money.
Yeah.
You get to that point.
We're going to see some surprises today, I think. But you got teams that are out of it against teams that have already clinched or teams that need it. You know, that angle I mentioned earlier, 61% since 1990. Dogs, 61% when eliminated teams are playing teams that need to win. It already went 2-0 on Christmas. Tampa, Miami, Pats, Jets, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Colts, Jags, and Rams, Falcons all fit the bill.
Well, and look at this. I think that's money basically on all of those teams that don't need it, right? Money on the Colts. Money on the Falcons. Yeah. Tomorrow night.
Give me the scenario where the Colts, assume me, where the Jags don't cook here. They've been so good. The 6-0 straight up in ATS run. They've owned the Colts. 14-0 touchdown INT ratio. Last four for Lawrence. They scored all those points.
Okay.
205-92 going back. 118 points the last three. 12-3 over their team total. Awesome performance in Denver. The Colts can't stop anything.
Right. So my answer would be it's a meltdown like we saw with Detroit on Christmas Day. But there's a big difference here. The Vikings defense has been playing out of their minds now for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
One of the best units in the entire league.
Yeah, that stat that Charch had. They haven't allowed a passing touchdown in 7 games?
Yeah, it was the first one he did.
It's crazy.
I know, and he got lucky getting that one done. But the Colts defense is not even in the same. So I don't. They would just have to go there and turn the ball over, you know, 4 or 5 times. It would have to be a performance like Houston last week against the Raiders.
Okay.
Like how do the Raiders keep a game close against Houston? Well, okay, Genty has his best game as a pro, which nobody saw coming.
And you can't run against Jacksonville. And maybe this is the game where they put Rivers on his back several times and he gets banged up and doesn't have time to throw. There's a big difference between Jacksonville's defense and the 49ers defense.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe Salah didn't blitz. He didn't blitz till like the third quarter in the Monday night game.
I do like that angle though, and too late now to grab the Colts plus at least the 3 in the first half, where you probably know that you're going to get Rivers for at least the first half.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too. I'm sure Vrabel's talking about that. We're playing a bad team. Let's put these guys away and sit people. We're down 5 starters. And let's get ready to wrap up the division next week. And they've also been so good against bad teams and also first half. Patriots were 7.5 first half. 12-3 ATS first half. 14-1-1 on the money line. 11-0-1 last 12. 7-0 on the road. 6-1 ATS. They get up to great starts. And they've been awesome in the first half. And it's been dreadful, these performances by Cook. And how bad the Jets' offense has looked the last 3 games.
I can't blame any team at this point. It's a war of attrition. Today, next week, if they just say, nah, we need to get as healthy as possible. Because the league's been decimated this year, as it is every year. But this year, maybe even more than ever, with like key injuries. For example, like the Packers aren't going to play anybody next week.
No.
Why would they?
Yeah.
That should be 60 minutes Clayton Tune.
Yes.
Right?
How about this Viking story? They had to go 5-0 to go over the win total, and they've been a 6-point dog in a couple of the games, and now you might be favored against the Packers who sit people?
I can't get over being forced to use a dog on Christmas Day, and 4 people use the Vikings, and it got there for them. If you had the Cowboys, you're thinking, okay, this is great. But for people on the Cowboys that day, they had to come back and bet a little bit on the Vikings on the money line.
Vikings win total under could be a vicious beat. Fremont Street Experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, they're turning all the way up. Ringing 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st all night long. 6 live concerts on 3 stages. Robin Thicke, CeeLo, Massive Countdown, Light Spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. 1 ticket, 1 night, just $60. The party starts at 7. Grab your tickets now at VegasExperience.com, VegasExperience.com, or any gate location on December 31st.
All right, Dr. David Chow on the program coming up next. A lot of players ask him about today. For example, what does he expect from Travion Henderson? And let's have him take us through this Tet McMillan injury news today with the illness, but yet he's going to be active coming up next here on VSiN.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Join now to get an injury update by Dr. David Chow on the Progressive Guest Line. SIC Picks subscribers are crushing spreads, winning at 64% this season on 3-star spread picks using their injury edge. VSiN viewers can get a free week of unlimited access to SIC Picks, which includes spreads, totals, props, plus health ratings and projections. Sign up for SIC Picks. Use the code VSIN to claim the offer before kickoff at SIC Score. Panthers.com. Dr. Chow, thank you for the time. As always, let's begin with the story today with Panthers rookie wide receiver Tech McMillan, odds on favorite to win the rookie of the year. However, today added to the injury report due to illness, officially listed as questionable, but he's going to give it a go today. Take us through this whole process and how compromised you think he might be.
Well, it's big news when there's a downgrade on the injury report, but teams are required to do that if there's any chance that they might miss, and they'll get fined if they don't list them. But it's very rare to miss due to injury. Yes, the closer to game time the announcement, the more the risk to miss. But between IVs and the multiple doctors there and the athletic training staff, it is relatively unusual to miss.
So with everything that NFL teams have access to make sure their players are okay, like you're telling me, like if I came down with the flu right now, and if I had access to the stuff the NFL give their players, would I, in like 2 hours, would I feel like much closer to normal than I would if I didn't have access to it?
Closer to normal. And remember, the game plan's already installed. So that was installed when Tet McMillan was healthy. So they're not changing the game plan. So I would expect him to be close to normal.
What do I do if it wipes out half the team? Like what's going through the locker room in Chicago?
Well, yeah, there's no question, you know, then, you know, there's more IVs and more work for the medical staff. But that's a very unusual circumstance to have that happen. I don't see that in Carolina here today.
What do you think happens with Kittle tonight?
Well, Kittle is as tough as they come. He always wants to play through. He's played through cuboid fracture early before. But here's the thing. Right now, based on the ankle injury in the video, I think it's unlikely that he can play and be effective in the open field. There is a chance that he could play and be instrumental in the run blocking game, which he is for the 49ers. So if he plays, and right now people are saying dubious, look for him to be involved in the pass blocking, sorry, the run blocking scheme more than pass routes.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland, they're down Watt, they're down Metcalf. How does it affect Pittsburgh's offense now without their star wide receiver?
Well, and remember, they also, there's it's wide receiver one and two for Pittsburgh out. And then also they've got issues on their offensive line, including their guard with the triceps, Isaac Simolo. So, yeah, Pittsburgh has some injuries. Obviously, Myles Garrett's trying to get his sack record. Mm-hmm. It's a divisional opponent. You know, I think Pittsburgh was secretly hoping that the Ravens would lose last night and they could coast the final two games, but they're going to have to ball out here on the road.
They're also going to have to find a way to slow down outstanding rookie tight end Harold Fannin, who's going to go today. It wasn't looking too hot for him earlier in the week, but he's going to go. Your expectations for him today?
Well, it's a groin injury, and if he were a speedy wideout, I'd be dubious. He is an athletic tight end and with a big body, big catch radius. And so he doesn't rely on separation as much as some other wide receivers. So I think he can still be effective playing with his groin.
Your level of concern with the Patriots, down five starters and a couple linemen.
Absolutely. And the big one is left tackle Will Campbell. But they've also got linebacker issues and defensive line issues. You could argue their best linebacker, their best D lineman, Milton Williams, run stopper, and their best pass blocker, Will Campbell, are out. So New England does have some injury issues against the Jets here.
Well, this is also a big angle for many, many reasons. I think a fantasy angle with this being championship week. I think Paulie has some on Travion Henderson to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But if he's cleared to go today, right, he should be a full go in theory?
He's cleared to go, but coming off a concussion,
right,
they don't want him to get a second one. That would shut him down for the playoffs. And also remember, he wasn't full go in practice all week. And so if the team's not sure of what his status is going to be, the game plan gets scripted a little differently. So I would, you know, be a little dubious on his projections for the day.
3-point move on the total in the Arizona-Cincinnati game. Arizona can't stop anything. Bengals can't either. And we got issues on both defensive sides of the ball here.
Issues on both defensive sides of the ball, some O-line issues, especially for Arizona. Basically, four out of five starters are out. The center and even is on the injury report. Lots of injury issues in that game. This is a Joe Burrow mental health game, I think.
Okay, last week it was a great story. Taysom Hill, potentially his final home game there, the Superdome, and they made a point for him to do a little bit of everything, right? The Swiss Army knife. Now they're on the road, so no more, you know, Saints fans in attendance there at the home place anyway. And they have, you know, a ton of injuries in the backfield regardless. Do you think they're going to go to war here with Taysom Hill getting, like, plenty of usage again today?
Well, he certainly is an option, especially with their running back room as injured as it is and takes some pressure off their rookie quarterback there. But, you know, hard to get in the mind of Kellen Moore, but he is very creative, so I could see him being an option today.
You also heard us talking previous segment about this Colts game. Plenty of money on Indy today on the game. Jacksonville down to 4.5, also on the first half number because threes were pretty much wiped out. Jacksonville down to 2.5. The thought there is that Rivers, a guy that you have been very close to, obviously throughout his entire career and your career, would only play the first half or thereabouts. Are you in line with that thinking?
Yes, in this way. No insider information. I did not text Philip Rivers on this. He did not tell me. And even if he did, I would not tell the world. It would be private. But just knowing Philip, he's in it not for stats, not for glory. He's in it to help the Colts get to the playoffs. They're eliminated. I think the only reason Riley Leonard doesn't start this game is the Colts have offensive line issues at both tackles and at center. And Philip Rivers, you know, doesn't, you know, no one wants to get Riley Leonard killed back there since Philip, you know, makes all the line calls. And it's a little unfair to start Riley Leonard without a full week of starter reps in practice. They didn't know they were eliminated till Houston won last night. So I see Philip being the mentor and the coach that he is, going to Shane Steichen and saying, let's get Riley Leonard some reps. And that's just a hunch opinion on my side, not based on anything fact or communication.
Very good. That's what they should do. Interesting. What do you expect out of Geno Smith this afternoon in the battle for the number one pick, and he's down Bowers?
Well, you know, I mean, don't forget, their backup tight end's pretty good, Michael Mayer. That's probably what you would suspect there. I mean, that's an interesting tank bowl there, right, in terms of what's going on. The Giants, though, you know, the interim head coach doesn't care. He's trying to win a game, so we'll see what happens.
You can follow Dr. David Chow on X. He is at Pro Football Doc. And again, go to the website, sicscore.com. You're going to get a free week of unlimited access to picks that include spreads, totals, props, plus health ratings and projections. Use the code VSIN to get this offer again at sicscore.com. Valuable information.
We have one entry in the Circa Millions, and we're in the top 200 right now. We're out of the money right now, but we're in the top 200 out of the entry. So that's respectable. We're over 60%.
All right. So you can probably climb and get a little bit closer in the next 2 weeks, and obviously.
Well, if we go 5-0, maybe we can get a sniff of something. But, you know, right now we're out of the money, right? We're, I think, tied for 138 or something, right? Which is good, but not good enough.
Nothing to sneeze at there. Very good.
Good job, Doc.
Thank you, Doc. We appreciate the time. Good luck today.
Thank you.
I saw the leader started 0-2 already. And Charlie, opposite of the guru, he's got a ton of unders that he likes with his prop list and give out to as well on the website.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterback unders.
Okay, so that's, I like that he said that, by the way. Never got any information from Philip.
Yeah.
Known the guy for a long time. If I did, I would not share it with you. Only a hunch, but I can see that coming into play, and the betting market obviously thinks the same thing. And oh, by the way, here at Circa, Jacksonville's down to 4 for the game. And DK's down to 3.5.
I don't get it.
Man, at some point, like Jacksonville, like a money line bet, there's going to be value on that number just to win the game outright. That's what I'm going to look for in the next hour. How low could we go on a possible money? Let me check the DK number now.
And how high can we go on the late games? Can we get to a 3.5 or a 4 in one of these games?
I know.
Pick up the 3 in both of them, Giants and Bills.
Jacksonville minus 205 on the money line at FanDuel. If that creeps down to like a $1.80 or something like that, I'm going to have to hop in.
All right. And I like your angle too. First touchdown of the day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Tucker, Evans. Someone at a big price to start the day. You can bet that at DraftKings.
Why not? All right, stay tuned after our show here. Countdown to kickoff. Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel. You can stay tuned for any last-minute line changes. Derek Stevens on the program. Warren Sharp again coming up at 12:30 Eastern. Then stick around for Live Bet Sunday, all the live sports in action at 1 o'clock Eastern time, followed by Ready, Set, Bet starting at 4 Eastern. Best of luck today betting the National Football League.